I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everyone! Welcome to the NXT After Show. We are hailing from Los Angeles, but tonight's episode was hailing from the WWE Performance Center, and it was on fire. We had number one contender matches. We had the biggest bruiser brawl ever, and I am so excited to be here to break it down all for you. But I am not alone. I have a superstar wrestling panel with us today. On my far, far left, the host of our AEW Dynamite After Show, the one and only Jack Farmer.
I always love the opportunities I get to have to come and be a part of the NXT show. So much good stuff happens on this show. It's always
fun.
A treat. Thanks for having me.
Yes, I love having you. It's always like, hey, Jack, we always have fun hanging out.
Yeah.
You know, we started kind of around the same time being on some of the panels, so I'm happy to have you here.
Yeah.
And we also have a super special guest with us tonight, a comedian and pro wrestler training to be a superstar himself, working at Knox Pro Wrestling School. Welcome, Hamza Khan.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much for having me. Absolute pleasure being here. NXT was amazing, and I cannot wait to talk about it.
Oh my gosh, we're so happy to have you here. It's so exciting. But also in the booth, I have Rye Guy, who's going to just help make it happen.
What's going on, y'all?
Yeah.
Super excited to talk about NXT. And shout out to Flobo, who's not here tonight, as well as David Punk Rock.
No, we miss our Punk Rock. We miss our Flobo. But they're all doing great things. They will be back next week. We miss you guys. But first, you know what? Let's just jump into this episode. This was one of the best episodes of NXT I think I've seen in a really long time. I'm so excited. So, what do you guys, Jack, what do you think about overall how this episode was leading into WrestleMania?
One of the things I feel like I keep saying to myself over and over watching NXT is just how stacked their women's division is and how good it is. I mean, we had so many matches tonight that were between people who could be main eventing on multiple brands. And we're so spoiled. We get multiple matches in one regular show. I loved it. It was great.
It's incredible. Hamza, what did you think about this episode?
I mean, it's pretty obvious we're on the road to WrestleMania now. They pulled out all the stops. I loved the tour of the Performance Center, and it started off with a bang with Keith Lee, so loved every bit of it.
Oh, my goodness. I know that Keith Lee match was great, and like we always bask in his glory, and
always.
It's incredible.
Bask in his glory.
Oh, we have a singer on our hands.
No, we don't.
Nice full set.
So let's just jump right into it, because again, we open the night with this North American Championship, Keith Lee versus Cameron Grimes, and it's this ultimate matchup of Grimes' agility and speed, and then Keith with his strength and power. And so, Hamza, what did you think of this overall match and its placement in this episode and leading into TakeOver Tampa?
Definitely a great way to start off the show. And I know Grimes is known for the agility and the speed, but let's not forget who Keith Lee is and how he can do. But he definitely worked his power in this match, and I absolutely loved every aspect of his defense, because Grimes was going on with a lot of offense this time around. And it was definitely intense, and it got the show kickstarted the way it needed to.
Yeah, so Keith Lee's been having an amazing run, you know, 6 month plus run of just like his reign and his rise in his power.
Shout out to Evan Mack in the chat.
Evan Mack is in the
chat. Mackalish.
What? Hi.
The GOAT.
So, Jack, do you have thoughts on Keith Lee and his kind of just his full journey in NXT?
The safest hot take in all of wrestling right now is that Keith Lee is going to be a huge star, because he so clearly
is going
to be. He's so great. I mean, I already, like, I want to play as him in the WWE game. His moveset's cool. He's cool. I can already see him headlining WrestleMania someday. He's got it all. Like I said, safest hot take in the business. Keith Lee, you're going to be a star.
Yeah.
He's great.
I think all of us have had that hot take a couple times.
Yes.
In
absolutely.
The last few months. We just keep saying it. So, do you think Keith Lee is going to have to switch up any of his strategy going into
TakeOver in the next few weeks leading into WrestleMania?
I don't think he's going to need to, but I think he will nonetheless. Because Heath Lee always comes with surprises, and that's what I love watching. Why I love watching him is because it's always something new and something different and something I never expect from him.
Something that I thought was just a testament to how great he is was last week when Cameron Grimes came out and couldn't even get a word out in his promo because the crowd was so into Keith Lee. He was like, and you could tell. I feel bad for him. He tried to start multiple times, but the crowd wasn't letting him have it. They love Keith Lee so much. I think the only thing holding him back right now is he's got the North American title when he could have the NXT title.
Oh. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm all in on Keith Lee. Yep.
I think we all are. So how did you feel about Damian Priest coming in and kind of messing with Keith Lee, trying to mess things up at the end?
Oh, I liked it. I liked it was a little bit of a scuffle between four different guys, it seemed like, and I think it's definitely building towards something. And I like the fact that it kind of left us guessing towards the end of what's going to happen next and how it's going to progress forward. So Damian Priest coming out, I think he's also ready for a title shot. I think he's been overlooked a little bit, and I think that it'd be nice to see him in the title picture coming up. Maybe he can take the North American Championship, and Keith Lee can go after the NXT.
Yeah, something that NXT does so, so well is how they'll present a new character to us, and we may be on the fence about him. We may not know how we feel about them, but the way they position that person, we grow to like them. Damian Priest is someone who, at first I saw the vignettes, and I was like, oh, this guy seems cool, and they started wrestling. I was like, I don't know, but now seeing him mixed up with Dijakovic and Keith Lee, I'm starting to buy into him based purely off of who he's associating with in these matches, and I'm starting to buy into him. It was a slow take for me, but I'm really starting to get into Damian Priest.
Yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying all these matches that we've seen lately on NXT where we've had people kind of interrupt the status quo. They're kind of messing with who might win and kind of causing more trouble, and I enjoy that aspect of it because it keeps you on your toes. It's surprising. And it just makes you want to watch even more.
Very true.
So, speaking of matches that I want to keep watching, is this number one contender match for this huge ladder match at NXT TakeOver Tampa. And tonight, we had Mia Yim versus Dakota Kai, and Raquel Gonzalez was thrown in there, you know, again, trying to insert herself into the drama, trying to, you know, cause some trouble. But here we had a surprise win, which I was super surprised, but extremely happy that this happened tonight. So we had these two women that have had this huge rivalry for a while now, and here they had the culmination tonight. Hamza, what did you think of this match and this rivalry?
I disagree with you. I was very disappointed with the outcome. Dakota Kai is my girl, like all the way through and through. So when I saw her out there with Raquel, and I was like, okay, they're gonna definitely get this. They're gonna win this. They're gonna take it home. And the fact that Raquel actually ended up costing Dakota Kai the number one contender spot, I don't know. I don't know how this is gonna play out. So I'm kind of interested to see how it goes between the two of them moving forward. But I really wanted to see her in this ladder match.
Yeah. Do you think there's gonna be something between Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez that's gonna cause a bigger rift? Because again, she cost.
Yeah, it's true. But Dakota's a smart girl, and I don't think she's gonna give up Raquel as a bodyguard so soon. I think she's gonna hold on to her as long as she can.
Mm-hmm. I love the combo of those two working together. I was kind of surprised that Dakota Kai didn't win this one because she's been winning her feud with Tegan Nox every step of the way.
Yeah.
And it seemed like they were positioning for her to take another step. So this was really shocking for me. I think it's great news for Mia Yim fans, her getting the chance to move on. And
true.
She's tangled with the women's title before, so I think it makes sense her being in this match. But yeah, really surprising to see Dakota Kai not get the win, especially as she seems to be ramping up everything she's doing lately.
Yeah, it was an interesting moment, but I feel like that's what NXT does, is kind of creates these moments that are surprising. And so, you know, I agree with both of you guys. I want to know what the chat thinks, who they thought should have taken tonight, Dakota Kai or Mia Yim?
I'll ask him. I'll just ask him. You guys can hear me. I was going
to
write it down.
Write it.
I don't need to write it. You guys can hear me.
Let us know what you guys think.
Let us know what you think.
They can hear you, Jack. Jack, I would love to know how AfterBuzz wrestling fans can watch our content.
I'm a little nervous talking about this because watching the show, Rye Guy in the booth always kills this part, but I'm going to do my best
to start
by thanking you guys for helping to make AfterBuzz TV the ESPN of TV talk. And of course, for us to continue to bring all this amazing content to you guys, we need you to do us a favor, and that's hit the like button, write a little comment, give that five-star review. And if you do that, more of this will happen. I don't know how it all works, but without that to power us, we can't do it. So hit the like button. It's literally the least you can do.
Thanks, Jack. So like our videos and five stars, and we love our reviews, and we love our fans. So thank you.
Yeah, let us know you exist.
Yes, please do. So again, we had this next match coming up tonight that it was Kushida versus Mendoza. So we have a high flyer, lightning bolt, and both are speedy. Kushida uses multiple styles in the ring. You know, we have some innovative offense that we saw tonight. What are your thoughts on this match?
Mendoza, man. Mendoza's been on the losing side a lot lately,
yes.
I've noticed. And I don't know if he needs something to, well, we saw later on what happened, right? But he's been on a losing streak. I was hoping for him to get one win here, but Kushida's on a roll, and there's no way he's going to stop Kushida, that's for sure. And I know Mendoza's quick and fast when it comes to the lucha style, but what, Kushida's been trained by Tajiri, and he's just as quick, just as fast. So that was a very even match, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really quick match, but it was so concise and so deliberate in all of the moves. They both, I feel like Mendoza was a shining star tonight. Even though he didn't win, I feel like this was a win for him because he just showcased what he could do against Kushida, who has multiple training techniques. So
Kushida's an interesting in NXT right now, because it feels like we get some of him and it seems like he's going somewhere, and then he's gone for a while, and then he's back, and then he's gone for a while. Flobo famously told me that he is a time traveler of some kind,
and that's
why he's able to maybe he's just bouncing around time. Maybe he's already won the world title in the future. But I like to talk about Mendoza. Mendoza is so good at making other people look good.
Yeah,
and it's totally. I think it's he's
respect.
Almost too good at it. I think that's the problem.
He's just too good.
He makes everyone look so
shine.
Good. They're like, hey, go make this dude look good.
Right.
Mendoza, quit making people look so good. Make yourself look good.
Be worse at your job.
Do a worse job and you'll do better. No, but I think Mendoza is great. I could see him being a tag team in the future and going from there. I like Mendoza a lot, and I think Kushida definitely, again, for some reason, there's just a disconnect with Kushida. Like, I know he's good, but for some reason, I'm not emotionally investing into who he is.
That seems like the overall feel for Japanese stars in the WWE, in my opinion.
Yeah.
A little bit of a disconnect.
I feel like it's you have wrestlers come from all backgrounds, and so, again, when you're combining the strong style, Japanese style wrestling, and the kind of traditional American style, you have to find like the right fit, the right opponent, the right story that you're going to tell. And so again, with Kushida, they're trying to find that.
Yeah,
I was hoping he would still tag with Alex Shelley. I like that combo.
Oh yeah,
that was a cool combo. I don't know what the deal is with that, but I would love to see those guys reform as a tag team. And
yeah, that would be fun.
And go after the Broserweights, maybe.
Oh, Broserweights. We're going to talk about that. My favorite tag team ever. So later in this episode, we saw Mendoza get taken outside the WWE Performance Center and taken in a SUV of some kind. It's a mystery. We're not sure what happened there.
I really felt like Mia Yim, when she was walking outside, was about to get hit by a car. And
I know. That scared me. I thought, oh, goodness.
The Stone Cold scenario all over again, right? Thought Rikishi was going to show up and be like, I ran her over. But no, it was a good twist to it. And,
It was rough. We were on our edge.
No, but it was good. I liked it. I liked the turnaround, because that's what I was thinking this match. It was like, okay, where's Mendoza going to go from here? And the fact that the luchadors came through and we don't know who they were, interesting to find out who it is. Now I'm excited to see where this goes from Mendoza, and I hope this is his time to start shining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. But someone else that we know is shining brightly and just being amazing and taking the NXT and WWE Universe by storm is Rhea Ripley, and of course the queen, Charlotte Flair. So Rhea Ripley tonight comes out and talks about how she has this huge championship match coming to WrestleMania, and appears, and Charlotte confronts her tonight and says that she doesn't have what it takes, and they get into this short little brawl, and Charlotte just takes her down, hurts her knee, gets her kind of crippled a little bit, on the floor, throws the title on the floor. Again, people have really, like, they're chanting for Rhea Ripley, but they're kind of upset with Charlotte, so there's a lot of mixed fan reaction here. How do you guys feel Rhea Ripley's confidence is going into WrestleMania, and what are her chances?
Rhea Ripley has a lot of confidence. She has a pretty decent chance, but she cannot out-confidence the queen. Like, Charlotte Flair is just... I'm sorry. I know a lot of people are going to disagree, but Charlotte Flair, to me, is the one. And I know she has that championship reign. She's trying to go for the 16 titles like her dad. I'm hoping this can add to it, be number 11. And I don't know. It's like every time Rhea Ripley does something amazing to me, I feel like Charlotte does it a little bit better.
Mm. Humza, you and I park our cars in the same garage because I love Charlotte Flair. I think she's the greatest female wrestler of all time.
Agreed.
And I'm not one for hyperbole. I don't like to blow things out of proportion. But I feel like Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania will one day be looked back on the same way we look back on Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior. Mm. The greatest at the moment with the new kid coming up that's supposed to be the next big thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rhea Ripley is going to be the biggest star in women's wrestling that we've seen in a long time, and Charlotte Flair already is. I absolutely love it.
Wow, I love how you guys are so passionate about it.
Right.
You know, yeah. I love both of them.
You're like, they're okay.
They're all right. They're okay. I could do better. No, just kidding.
Triple threat
of WrestleMania.
Right.
Ooh, my dream.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Just me coming out. I don't know what my entrance music would be.
You don't even have entrance.
I don't even have entrance music. It's After Buzz. Yeah.
It starts with Maria coming in.
Oh my goodness, we're gonna make this happen. I'm a huge fan of Rhea Ripley. I always have, but also I'm like a diehard Charlotte Flair fan too. But I also am an underdog, like, supporter. I love the underdog story, and Rhea Ripley has, like, you know, risen through the ranks, has shown that she can. Really, just take over a whole arena.
No pun intended.
And no pun intended. Yeah. And just she has the fan base. She has the strength, the agility, the athleticism to really make a statement. I mean, it's going to be an incredible match. It's going to be one of my favorites to watch. And I'm kind of not sure who's gonna win.
I predict match of the night at WrestleMania.
You think so?
I really do. I think. Because in every way, this is done perfectly. Because even visually, you look at them in the ring, they look so different. They look like they would hate each other. You've got like the punk rock Rhea Ripley. You've got the queen, Charlotte Flair. But also, the outcome, as you said, I have no way of predicting who's going to win this match. And the ramifications of who wins the match is going to be big.
Right.
Either we're going to have Rhea Ripley knock off the greatest women's wrestler of all time,
Or
is Charlotte Flair coming back to NXT?
Yeah.
Is she going to defend her title there? What does that mean? This is exactly what we're talking about when we talk about WrestleMania matchups.
Exactly.
And I think it's going to steal the show.
Both results of that match at WrestleMania have implications across WWE.
Right.
And that is exciting to watch.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
So exciting.
They come off like sisters, actually, where Charlotte followed what her parents wanted her to do.
I want Charlotte Flair as my sister.
And Rhea Ripley's like the rebel type, right?
Right.
See, triple threat. We did this.
Yeah, there you go. I'd have to be in the middle. Like, I'd have to kind of have a look that's in the middle. Like, not quite Rhea Ripley, not quite Charlotte Flair. Something in the middle.
But it'd be like down the middle, like this way.
Halfway. Like, yeah, exactly.
On one side.
Perfectly
like,
even.
Vertically. So one side is like long hair, the other side shaved
and then like spikes
on one side. Yes.
Yeah. So speaking of the women's division in NXT, we had another number one contender qualifying match tonight. We had Tegan Nox versus Deonna Purrazzo, and you know, Deonna Purrazzo is a meticulous grappler, and Tegan Nox again is a rising star in NXT. So what did you think of this matchup tonight?
It was, I liked the match. It was kind of quick. And I, just like you said, she's a grappler, so Tegan Nox probably ended up having to make sure it was cut short and just get the win right then and there, moving forward to the number one contender ladder match that's coming up at TakeOver. I mean, it was cool for what it was.
Yeah.
This was a tough one for me because I like both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I was definitely in that, like, get her, no, get her, no. I thought this was interesting. Tegan Knox came away with a win, and it, in a way, without being so obvious about it, going back to earlier in the night, it really did feel like it reset that Dakota Kai Tegan Knox rivalry a bit. Because now, even though Tegan Knox hasn't gotten any wins over Dakota Kai, Tegan Knox got the important win, which is the one going for the title.
Right.
So it's a cool way. I don't want to use the term 50-50 booking or that kind of stuff, but it's a good way of letting both of them get over and kind of keeping them both on their own level playing field. But I think it's cool to see Tegan Knox get in there. I'm
one
a fan of her.
One of the few ways 50-50 booking actually helps out both, which is the way to utilize it.
Absolutely.
Good point.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it gives, and what's nice is it gives both of them something to go forward with. Because if Tegan Knox goes all the way, then if you're Dakota Kai, you're like, hey, where's my shot?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if Tegan Knox doesn't make it all the way, then she can still say, look, I'm not done with you, Dakota Kai. And, you know, it's great. I think it's really smart that no matter how it turns out, as a fan, I'm going to be like, this is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I do like how they had two really strong women's matches tonight for the number one contender match. Because they're building, again, they're building up their roster. And we saw, I think half of them were filled tonight. We have three more that we're going to find out in the next few weeks who will fill those slots. So it's going to be interesting to see who will be there.
It's already a tough to call match.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's already a stacked number of people in it. So I think that's going to be a fun one.
Right. Yeah, I can't wait. So speaking of, you know, awesome tag teams, because those are my favorite.
Which one are we going to talk about now?
I don't know. We have so many. So we had this moment with Velveteen Dream coming out and confronting Undisputed Era and pretty much calling out Roderick Strong a lot.
Right.
He just got really angry and frustrated and, you know, was like, I'm going to take you down. And Cole's getting ready to celebrate the longest NXT champion reign next week, and so he's going to like throw a big
party. Is it really?
Yep.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, yeah, it is, but like it's one of those things I can't believe how quickly that came up.
Yep.
Yeah.
That he's had
time
it this
flies.
Long.
Time flies.
Maybe I just am really enjoying him as champion, but it seems crazy that he's already there.
Yeah, so we're going to they're building up to that celebration, and so he wants to become the longest reigning champion. So they pretty much have this match tonight, and Undisputed Era against the Broserweights. So the Broserweights, my favorite. I missed their golf cart tonight. I wanted the golf cart, but I get it. You know, it might be in the shop.
It's at full sale.
Yeah. Right.
So what do you guys think about this this match and kind of this this rivalry happening and this buildup?
I mean, first and foremost, I want to kind of scale back to Velveteen Dream versus Adam Cole. This feels like a match for the title is something that, as an NXT fan, I feel like I've wanted to see for at least a year or so. Because I've always been a huge fan of Velveteen Dream, and I've always been a fan of Adam Cole. I've always wanted them both to be going for the title. So the fact that they're having this match, they're going to have this match, is absolutely fantastic. I just wanted to make sure I touched on that first, because as a fan, I am absolutely lighting up over this.
Yeah, I mean, when Velveteen Dream returned a few weeks ago, or a few months ago,
yeah,
it was, I think all the fans were super excited to have him come back, because we've missed that energy, we've missed that personality, and the charisma. The charisma just, like, oozes out of him.
Out of him.
And the way they pivoted him from Roderick Strong to Adam Cole, you know what? I know I saw some people weren't happy with the way that cage match ended last week. I loved it.
I think it was super creative. It was so smart.
I thought it was such a good way to have him pivot and, again, make everyone look good. It was absolutely brilliant. They're so good in NXT about pivoting people from one rivalry to the next.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely loved it.
The whole tag team match was great, actually. I think that they took pieces of different rivalries and kind of mixed it all together into one segment. And I enjoyed that a lot more than just okay, now it's y'all's two turn to go out there and fight. Now y'all's two turn to go out there and fight. Mm-hmm. This was more of a... Velveteen Dream already got the one up last week.
Yeah,
so this time
he
just came through and he just sprinkled a little bit more
and
kept it pushing.
This was just him, like, dropping his mic and saying, hey, we're gonna...
I'm watching you. you. I'm coming for
you. Exactly. I'm going to cause some trouble.
And then they had all these different interactions that happened, and then the Broserweights, man, they put on such a good match. It was intense. It was crazy.
Yeah, so you haven't been on our NXT AfterBuzz show before, but we've talked a lot about the Broserweights because they're my favorite. But I wanted to get your hot take on what you think about Matt Riddle and Pete Dunne.
Well, Matt Riddle, to me, is nothing. That's charisma also right there, right? Mm-hmm. The guy is just so entertaining. Everything he does, I enjoy. Just the things he says online and things are just a lot of fun. And then Pete Dunne is crazy good technical wrestler, and he's really, really strong when it comes to just, you know, going out there and beating people up. Not much of the funny side there. So seeing them two interact and seeing them pick up one another's little bit of nuances, I'm enjoying it. I think it was brilliant putting them two together, and, you know, opposites attract.
Yeah, people need to stop complaining about random pair-ups of people.
Because this is not lightning random. In a bottle.
This is so great. I don't care what it means for any of the titles. I want them to have a show of their own on the network that I can watch every week of their crazy misadventures. I want them living in a house together.
Yes.
And I want to see Pete Dunne yelling at Matt Riddle for leaving stuff out. And I want them.
It's going to, so instead of Total Divas, it's going to be Total Broserweights.
I want Total Broserweights.
Total Bros.
These guys are so entertaining.
There's flip flops everywhere. There's flip flops all over the place.
Like, I love the Stallions. They're so cool.
It's just every time I watch them together, it brings a smile to my face and just like warm fuzzies because they're just. It's so different, and it's a pair that you would not think would work, and it's so working, and the fans are loving it, I think. What do you guys, what do you think? In the chat.
Chat, what do you think?
You know, the fans get upset about random pairings, but then if they did pairings that make sense, then everyone's going to be, like, predictable, you know?
Right.
And I like this non-predictable but still works type of style they have going on. It's great.
Exactly, and I feel like they took the time to develop it and actually think about the long-term strategy of where they would go and what they wanted to accomplish. And that takes a lot of time. And I feel like they took their time with this tag team, especially with like the Dusty Classic. They really took their time to create that arc and that story, and it's paying off in like tenfold.
Right.
And at the end of the day, one of the best things about this is that underlying seeded knowledge that one day they're going to break up. And it's going to be an amazing rivalry between the two.
Don't make me cry, Jack.
Your points are so like on
Don't
point
make
today.
Me cry.
That's great. I didn't even think about
it. We know it's going to happen, but for now, we're just going to enjoy it.
Can I just bask in my glory of the Broserweights?
Bask in their glory.
Let me have my moment.
But yeah, they're absolutely amazing, and I could watch them. I hope they keep the titles for a long time. Yeah.
Awesome. So what do you think their next step is as the Broserweights heading into TakeOver?
It's those grizzled young veterans.
They came out. They caused a little trouble tonight.
Yep, they're gonna hold on to the titles. This is not a good time for them to lose it. They're on a roll. You can do a lot with them. Let's keep it going. Build the momentum and let's take it, you know, as far as we can.
I think I figured something out with this episode, watching all these great tag teams, and that is that I think Triple H is actually a wizard or a magician of some kind, because I swear it was just a few weeks ago we were like, they need more tag teams in NXT.
Yep.
The division's really thin. Now I'm looking at four tag teams that are all awesome, that are amazing, that should be champions right now. Grizzled Young Veterans are so fun.
They're
so good on the mic. They wrestle so well. How did that happen?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't
lots of hard work.
And it never felt, well, yeah, that's how they got good. But it never felt forced. It never felt like they're like, oh, we're trying to get more tag teams. It was like, hey, they need more tag teams. And then Triple H, he like waved his magic wand that I'm sure he was. And then it was like, oh, hey, there's tag teams here. They're all amazing. Already bought into them. Already love them.
On his business card, in parentheses, it says magician.
Magician.
He was a cerebral assassin, right, when he was in wrestling. And he's smart. The COO, the CNCOO cerebral operating officer is what he is. So he's very smart, man. He knows what he's doing. He loves the business. Yeah. It's pretty obvious he's passionate about it. And we need more people like him running the show. Because the smarts behind that guy is amazing.
Yeah. You have to have the passion, the smarts. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever they're doing over there, they absolutely get it, and it's just so seamless. Nothing ever feels forced at NXT, and it's crazy how good they are at that.
So, speaking of amazing talent and, you know, epic, you know, arcs mm-hmm. and stuff. This moment was the moment of my life in NXT. This brought me so much joy. This last moment of the show, which was like 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Of the biggest bruiser brawl
yeah.
ever at the PC. So this mm-hmm. I have to check in with people and make sure that the performance center is doing okay.
Right.
Because I feel like the roof was going to come down. We have weights getting thrown. We have trash cans. We have Ciampa going through a glass window. We have mirrors being broken.
Oh, my God.
What else? We have
weights being thrown.
We have weights. Yeah, weights being thrown. Commentary tables. Get, you know, the that last moment. Just what's your hot take on this last huge moment
insane,
of this episode?
Insane. I was waiting for it to end every second of it because I did not want someone to get seriously hurt. And I was like, just
there was a few moments. It was a little iffy.
I was shaking.
I was like, that's a 50-pound weight.
That's a little heavy. That's you have to re-rack the weights, not throw them at the people,
yeah,
right?
I was
right.
Like, re-rack them. There's a process.
Right.
That was the worst part of it. Guys,
come on.
Be respectful of the gym.
There's a sign that says, you know, this is how you put them back.
Right. And wipe them off when you're done.
Disinfect.
Yeah. that was the worst part.
I was so worried.
Yeah, concerned. It was great. It was a great tour of the PC too. The Performance Center, like mm-hmm. Knox Pro, is a great place to learn wrestling and stuff. And I like just performing there. And but to see just how in depth this mm-hmm. Performance Center is, how many different rings they have, how the backstage area is, that's very very impressive. And that was probably the closest I'll get to it anytime soon. But hopefully I'll be there one day because I loved seeing it. Man, yeah. It got me really excited.
I mean, I've always wanted to tour the PC, and I was like, oh, we're gonna get to have a behind the scenes look
yeah.
tonight, and we definitely did.
Do you think this was a low key way of them kind of advertising the PC?
Yes. The only reason why I feel that way is because people can pay, I believe it's like $1,500 to go do a tour of the PC Center.
Oof.
And you get to do an entrance through the NXT thing. Oof. So I think that this might have been because they promoted it over and over again. They kept saying PC over and over again.
Yeah.
So, yes.
So, yeah, maybe, I mean, which is smart.
Right.
Great move.
Super
on.
Super smart.
As far as the whole rivalry goes, I've said this before, but I challenge you to go back and find a rivalry that Tommaso Ciampa was a part of that wasn't amazing.
Yeah.
Like, everything he does is so intense and so amazing and so believable, and he is just so good at everything he does. I am such a big fan of his.
I love Ciampa. He's had such an incredible story where he's just built up this, you know, coming back from a major injury, which I was a little worried about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's mm-hmm. doing some intense stuff. But he's coming back from an injury. He's fighting for his family, the well-being of his family. And it just was, it's such a beautiful story.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been around the business for so long. And to see him have this rivalry, I think it's bringing really good moments out of Johnny Gargano as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he's learning to kind of think outside the box and to wrestle in a different way and be different on the mic. And so I feel like it's really great for both of them yep. to be in this type of rivalry.
And I'm glad Ciampa found a place like NXT because, you know, with the injury and everything, I'm sure traveling is very, very brutal on people. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just as bad as it is actually wrestling, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Ciampa, you know, with the neck injury and everything, has this one solid place he can call home, and he comes and he delivers every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And when he delivers, he brings up people like Gargano. So I'm liking the rivalry in general. And like you said, I don't think I've ever seen one that I did not enjoy.
That's
yeah.
true. That's true.
He also has this weird ability to, like, if you just see him standing on his own and you didn't know who he was, you'd be like, he's like 6'5", 6'6".
Yeah.
But then you find out he's like 5'11". You're like, wait, what?
Yeah, what?
Like, how? What? He looks like he's, like, if he's, when he's standing by himself, I would swear he's about as tall as Randy Orton.
Yep.
He looks just like a big guy. And that's something that I don't think you can teach. I don't think you can manufacture in any way. Mm-hmm. He just has a presence that's so much bigger than he is.
Agreed.
But he still wrestles fast. He wrestles smart.
Mm-hmm.
He does these just, like I said, intense things.
Yep.
He's just so intense.
Yeah.
I mean, he is such a star. All of Johnny Gargano's stuff is his best stuff. Is with Ciampa, and I don't think that's a surprise. I also don't think that's a shot either. I just think Tommaso's so good, he's going to pull the best
exactly.
out of everybody.
Right. Yeah, he's so good. Ciampa's so good at what he does, and sometimes you need, like, I feel like Johnny Gargano was in a little rut
yeah.
where he was really trying to find his best qualities, and I feel like Ciampa is bringing the best qualities out in him,
mm-hmm.
and I'm excited to see, you know, where it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have so much to happen in the next few weeks leading up to TakeOver. So they advertise a Candice LeRae and Mercedes Martinez number one contender match next week.
Yay.
What are your quick thoughts on this?
Candice LeRae.
Candice LeRae?
Quick thought.
That's it. That's all you need to say.
I think it's going to be Candice LeRae. But it's weird. Candice LeRae, in a lot of ways, is kind of like Kushida, where she kind of pops up. It looks like she's doing something, and then suddenly she disappears. I don't know what the reasoning for that is, but I think the quick thought is she's going to win this one, but she's also one of those people you can't bet the farm on either.
True.
But, of course, that's what makes it a fun show, right?
Right.
And that's NXT brings all the surprises.
Yep.
We'll never know until we watch it. What do the fans think? Do they have any thoughts in the chat?
They are excited about doing a tour over at the Performance Center. Apparently, Ciampa doesn't look that tall. Dylan,
don't you go
disagreeing with me.
Causing trouble. Disagreeing with Jack.
This is why I don't come back here very often.
No, it's just... you're gonna make Jack not come back.
Right.
Now a lot of people are saying maybe they could do if there's issues with Mania. Obviously, there's some things going on.
Yes, there's issues there.
That there's always the potential to do something at the Performance Center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in a smaller kind of more contained venue.
Yeah.
We will see.
Yeah.
So thank you all, both of you guys, for joining us
for the
NXT After Show. Jack, where can people find you?
We can find me at jackcfarmer.com as well as at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. You can also check me out on the Raw After Show panel every Monday night at 9 p.m. Pacific, as well as the AEW social media skim every Monday. You can also check me out on Wednesdays for the AEW Dynamite After Show, which is filming here in about 10 minutes every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Pacific. And I also do the Hall of Fame Wish Show now. It's a new show every Wednesday that films right before all of this as well. I also, because I'm just... got nothing better to do. I also got to interview Mikey Ruckus, the guy that makes all the intro music for AEW, which is live now as well on AfterBuzz TV.
Nice.
Hamza, where can we find you?
Well, on Instagram and Twitter, it's Hamza_Mania, Hamza, H-U-M-Z-A, _Mania, M-A-N-I-A. And then Knox Pro Wrestling Academy. We're going to start putting on shows soon. We found a venue. We got Telemundo coming up in May. Check us out.
Amazing. You have to let us know all about that.
For sure.
So you all can find me on all social media platforms at Emily May Heller. Tomorrow at 4 o'clock Pacific time, we have a special, special interview for Women's Wrestling Weekly at 4 o'clock, so you don't want to miss that. Thank you so much for joining us for the NXT After Show. We love you. Please be safe and be kind. Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.